Father, I humble myself in your awesome presence. I confess that without you, I can do nothing. Holy Spirit, please come and inhabit this earthen vessel so that the words spoken this morning are your words. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Please turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. It's already happened. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Messiah. So in order to walk in the promise of this spiritual blessing that we've already received, we have to be in Messiah. We get there by faith, by believing that he's who he says he is. Then it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is the scripture that was preached on the night that I got saved in 1997. I was carrying around a lot of guilt and shame. And when I found out that the Lord chose me to be holy and blameless in his sight because he loved me before the foundation of the world, it just touched something in my heart that made me want to give my life and my heart to the Lord. He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Yeshua the Messiah to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Yeshua became condemned so that we could be accepted in the beloved and come before the throne of grace and say to the Father, here I am, I'm your child. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Messiah, both are which in heaven and which are on the earth in him. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You have an inheritance in heavenly places in Messiah when you're in him. That we who first trusted in Messiah should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was the guarantee or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and now Christ is going to come and claim all those who are his to be his bride. And while we're waiting for that to happen, we have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, a down payment that our place is going to be held. Yeshua said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you. That we can trust him, that there's going to be a place prepared for you. You can trust him. You can hold that hope firm until the end as an anchor for your soul. Then the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Yeshua and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Now, before I got saved, I was a Jewish agnostic. I talked of myself that way. And agnostic means without or lacking knowledge. And I was without or lacking knowledge of God. But people were praying for me. Believers, my neighbor was praying for me. For 8 years she prayed for me. Many of you had people who prayed you into the kingdom. But these scriptures are telling us that even though that's all true, it was God's plan before the foundation of the world that you would one day come to knowledge of him and faith in Yeshua the Messiah, and then you'd receive the Holy Spirit as a down payment on your inheritance. And then he goes on to say, he prays that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened so that you can know what is the hope of this calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, the saints? See, not only does he give us the Holy Spirit as a down payment for our inheritance, but we are Yeshua's inheritance. We're his bride. We're the ones that the Father promised to him if he would fulfill his calling. He fulfilled his calling when he hung on the tree and became a curse so that we could receive all the blessings in heavenly places in Messiah. And now what we have to do is be faithful to the end so that we can be his inheritance. It's a beautiful thing to both have an inheritance and be an inheritance. And we can only do it when we're in Messiah, in Christ. And then he goes on to say that we can know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, or the body of believers, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, many people in congregations all over the country live in fear of principalities and powers. They don't understand that Yeshua has already won the victory, and those principalities and powers are under his feet, and that you have been given the keys to go to the very gates of Hades, and they will not prevail against you.
That's right.
And we have to start behaving as if we understand this.
That's
right. So, we have been given all spiritual blessings in Messiah. We're an inheritance. We're his inheritance, promised to him by the Father. And in turn, he has promised us an inheritance in heaven. And he has guaranteed it by giving us his Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to go to verse 11. It says, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision." In other words, you who didn't have the law or the relationship with God in the beginning, because you weren't part of the Jewish nation that God chose. Now you have been called. But at that time you were without Messiah. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, it says in verse 13, in Messiah Yeshua, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. In other words, he abolished in his flesh the law that separated Gentiles from Jews, that separated Greeks from Jews, men from women, young and old. The law was a separating or a dividing wall. But he abolished that in his flesh and paid the price with his blood so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, it says in verse 15, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. As Dr. Morgan would say, that would be a really good place to say amen. And it says that having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, by way of review, we are one in Messiah. He broke down the dividing wall in order to create one new man. And what we say here at the Seat of Abraham is that we are a one new man congregation. We have a one new man symbol. It's a menorah, a Jewish star or a star of David, and a fish. The menorah symbolizes the law that came first and was given to the Jewish people. The star of David is an upward triangle and a downward triangle. The upward triangle is man reaching up to God, seeking his creator, having been created with a hole inside his spirit that longs for God and won't stop until it finds God. But some people fill it with other things, with addictive things, with negative things, with dark things, and they're satisfied not knowing that they're missing out on what God's best would be for them. And then the downward triangle is God reaching down to man, wanting to have a relationship, wanting to give good gifts to those that he created, if only they would love him in return, because he loves us so much that he gave Yeshua. And then the fish represents Yeshua coming and making those two things one so that the Gentiles could enter in and become part of this one new man, this new creation that he made. So that one new man symbol is a symbol of our congregation, Jews and Gentiles, one new man and Messiah worshiping together in order to fulfill our calling, which is to be an outreach to the Jewish people and to hold fast to our faith until Messiah comes again. So if there is this one new man that's been created, we need to know what that character of that one new man is supposed to be. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. I don't know what it says in your Bible, but in my Bible, Colossians chapter 3, right before verse 12, the heading is the character of the new man. And this is what the character of that one new man that we just described is supposed to be. It says in verse 12 of chapter 3, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection," or the characteristic of someone who's spiritually mature. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now look down in verse 23. "And whatever you do do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Messiah. And that those verses right there, 17 and 23, are actually the title of this message, Do It As Unto the Lord. So here we have this one new man that Yeshua came to create, taking those who were without God in the beginning and those who were chosen people of God from the beginning and making them into one new man. And then we just read what the character of that one new man is supposed to be. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Now in my Bible, it says over chapter 12, verse 12, unity and diversity in one body. And let's read what that is. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Messiah. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Some of you may think that the position that you hold in the body of Messiah isn't as worthy or prominent or beautiful as someone else's position. But remember that God put you in the body as he pleased to fulfill your own special function. And if you don't do it, there's no one else who can. You are unique. You were chosen by God to be exactly where you are and to be doing what he's calling you to do. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, that means no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Messiah and members individually. You are the body of Messiah and members individually. And each part has to do its share. So there's unity and diversity in the body. There's one new man, and the character of the one new man is to be loving, forgiving, patient, and kind to one another. Yeshua said that all the commandments can be broken down into two commandments, love God and your neighbor as yourself. If we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves, we aren't exhibiting love for God. So if you break the second of the two great commandments, you're also at the same time breaking the first, whether you believe you are or not. That's just the way it is. You have to love your neighbor in order to show your love for God. If you're out pretending that you love God and trying to show love for him through your worship and through prayer and all these things, but then you're disrespecting your neighbor or gossiping behind their back, or not settling differences right away with them as you're called to, or holding a bitter root of forgiveness, of unforgiveness or anger, or some other bitter root inside yourself, then you're not loving the Lord. Now, you might ask, why am I talking about this? And I want to tell you, you know, it's come to our attention as leaders that sometimes there's people who during the worship are out in the foyer talking and gossiping and fellowshipping. And there's a time for that. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's not when we're corporately trying to worship and give honor to God. And sometimes there's people who are out in the foyer during the message time when I or Rabbi Ed or some other guest speaker is up here giving a sermon, but there's people out there gossiping and talking and fellowshipping when they should be in here listening and giving their respect to the person that God chose to be the speaker that day. Because remember that it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. Now, trust me when I say this. I don't care if I'm up here speaking and somebody's out there talking. It's not about me. It's not about Rabbi Ed. You're not going to hurt our feelings. But if you're doing that, you're doing it as unto the Lord. And the Lord has something very specific to say to people who behave that way. Let's see what the Lord says about this. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31, and the heading over this verse says, the Son of Man will judge the nations. Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me. Then they also will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see You hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. We can't pretend that we're going to come and do church as usual and do disrespect our neighbors, gossip about people, be out in the foyer talking during the sermon or during worship, and pretend that we're being obedient to the Word of God. It's just not going to fly anymore, because God has laid it in my heart to tell you these things. I don't want to be up here saying this any more than you might want to hear it, but the Holy Spirit says we need to hear it. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. If you didn't do it to the least of these, it's as if you didn't do it to Yeshua Himself. So I've told you what I consider is the main issue today. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Turn forward to chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians. Again, the Apostle Paul is asking, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that's the what. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to glorify God. We're supposed to understand that in our body we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But then we also need to understand that our body is just one part of the entire body of Messiah. And every part is valuable, every part is necessary, and every part has a function. Now turn to James chapter 4. My brother Frank in the Torah reading read these verses, being sensitive to the same Holy Spirit that's prompting me. James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's important, but this is even more important. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. But if you humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. Sometimes we get a little too full of ourselves. And we don't humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We think that our way is best. But it says in Isaiah 53, everyone like sheep has gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yeshua didn't die so that we could go our own way. Yeshua died so that we could become one body in him and do things his way. And he made it possible for us to do things his way by giving us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance. Hallelujah. And we're being transformed from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit who's in us. That's why it's so important that Paul said twice, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? The Lord said through the Apostle Peter, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. In Leviticus, he said it to the Israelites three separate times. Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Verse 11 of James chapter 4. Do not speak evil of one another, brothers and sisters. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Or as in the theme of my presentation, he speaks evil of Yeshua himself and judges Yeshua himself, because whatever you do to the least of these, you're doing it as unto the Lord. When you start seeing Yeshua in each and every member of this family of believers, you'll treat them the way you would want to be treated, and you'd want them to see Yeshua in you. And if you start doing unto them as if you were doing unto the Lord, I believe that a lot of our behavior toward each other would change. Because we can't go on saying how much we love God, but not love each other. That's not going to fly, I'm sorry. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? This is God's word inspired by the Holy Spirit. I'm just reading it. If the message is convicting you, remember that I'm the messenger, not the message. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. As our beloved Rabbi Ed says, Philip to Philippians. Okay, Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Messiah, so that whether I come to you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Skip down to chapter 2. Therefore, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And it's very unusual that anyone would suffer a more horrible death than our Messiah suffered for us. But because he was obedient even to that, it says in verse 9 that therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So the verses that say that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and that we're all part of the body of Messiah, that's the what. The verses that tell us to humble ourselves and have the mind of Messiah and be like-minded with each other and love each other, that's the how. Now I'm going to tell you the why. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's an incredible promise. You know, I still see myself looking back when I look in the mirror. Probably most of you do too. But one day we'll look in the mirror and see the reflection of Yeshua. And in the meantime, until that promise is totally fulfilled, I believe, by his second coming, we need to do everything in word or deed as if we're doing it as unto the Lord. We need to treat ourselves as each one of us is part of his body, which is the truth. And we need to love one another and humble ourselves and look out for the interests of each other as well as to our own interests. And look at chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In Jeremiah, it says, can the potter say to the clay, why did you make me this way? But in chapter 5 and verse 10, it says this, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And that's really why I'm here giving this message today, to provoke you, to encourage you, and to remind you that we're all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Messiah. And I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want each of you to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to close with this. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 27, you don't have to go there, but Yeshua is walking through a great multitude, and all of a sudden a woman cries out and said, blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed are the breasts that nursed you. And Yeshua looked up at her and said, more importantly, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
That's right.
I pray for each and every one of us that we may be people, part of the body of Messiah, who hear his word and do it, hear his word and keep it, and that whatever we do in word or deed, we do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Thank you.